Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's time to know your lane.
When you have to trim your ear hair, you don't need a lock on your phone, okay? Because you're a mutt. You're a pig and you're a mutt. You don't need, that should be a rule. As soon as you get ear hair, just take the lock off your phone because there's nobody going to be texting. There's no DMs.
You're right.
You got ear hair.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, will join us in about 5 minutes. The Jays got swept down in Tampa. So if you were riding that wave coming out of the Baltimore series, feeling good about the Jays, maybe storming back into wild card contention, go back to sleep. It's over. It's over. It's done.
Doesn't it make you like completely forget about them and just say...
Well, it's a very different conversation. You know, like a couple of years ago when they were a very good team and going on runs, every single day we were in here talking about the game.
I know.
You know, you're sitting here, you're breaking down what happened in the middle of the
home
innings.
Home runs, great plays.
Everything. Why didn't Gibbons make a pitching change?
Yeah.
What happened there with the hit and run in the seventh inning? Details, they become erroneous when you're a team that is destined for 75 wins. It just doesn't matter that much.
Covering the team. Like if you're trying to dig into stories and stuff.
Oh, covering this team day in, day out?
Would be tough because...
Oh, dude. How know, about Baltimore, though? Baltimore, what do they have, 18 wins? Baltimore's 19-47.
Yikes.
They have a 288 winning percentage. 288. Basically every four games they sneak in a win.
It's crazy.
Like, it's clockwork. They've lost three in a row. They should win this afternoon. 288.
Maybe we should track that team.
Oh, it's painful.
And you can do your best bets based on Baltimore.
Every day I'll include Baltimore.
Yeah. If you're going to run from them, what's running from them?
Why would you go to Baltimore?
I fade Baltimore.
I'm fading
Baltimore.
Let's do
Toronto. Toronto's almost just as bad.
Well, yeah, since their 12-5 start, they're not quite as bad, but there are teams openly tanking in baseball.
Yeah, but that's...
The White Sox openly tanking, Kansas City for the most part, Baltimore. I don't think they intended on being this bad, but they are this bad. And the Blue Jays, you know, you're already looking towards what the draft pick is going to be and what they're going to do at the trade deadline.
I'll tell you, if I was a baseball player, I want Terry Collins. Is it Terry Collins as a manager?
Terry Collins, the former manager of the Mets, who is now retired. He's out of the game, but I don't know why this got released today. I still don't know the backstory of how...
Yeah,
maybe
why
this
so
has been
long?
Out. I don't know. So this dates back to 2016. We have the audio. I don't even know if it makes sense to play it because it's so censored. I don't think we can do justice to it on radio and on TSN 2.
Let's give it a rip.
It's really difficult to do. Well, okay, we'll play it. We'll try it here, okay? So let me give the backstory.
Right.
Back in 2015, I believe
it was.
Yeah,
it was the year before.
Year before. That's when Chase Utley, playing for the Dodgers, had that vicious slide into second base.
Correct.
And I believe he broke the leg of Tejada, who was the second baseman for the Mets at the time. The next year... This is the first time the Mets play the Dodgers. Utley steps up to the plate. Syndergaard's on the mound, and he throws a 99-mile-an-hour scud missile.
And the backstory, I mean, this had led up to it. Both teams knew it was
they knew
coming.
It was, like, the whole world knew it was coming.
Even Utley's comments afterwards.
He knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. I just hoped that nobody got hurt out of it.
He fully expected to get hit.
Right.
And now the ball didn't hit him. Syndergaard missed him, but he was trying to hit him.
It was a nuke Lelouch bomb.
It was a foot behind him, but that... had some meat on it.
Big time. Like, it was humming. And it missed him, and Syndergaard immediately got kicked out.
Right.
And Terry Collins came out with a rage on. I don't know if I've ever seen a rage like this. Like, dude, this guy was so mad about something that had happened the year before. In the moment, rage is one thing.
Right.
You know, you get suckered, you get up, you're looking for the guy or whatever. But a year removed, he was still fuming from what Utley had done to Tejada.
This is Pat Quinn and Dennis Savard.
Exactly. 15 years later, he got
him. This is like a...
Or Stan Mikita, I think it was.
Sorry, yeah, Mikita.
Yeah, Mikita had chopped Quinn like in his rookie year, and he got him back 13 years later.
Oh,
that's,
I got him.
Vendetta. That's revenge. All right, let's play the audio, though, because I think if Collins was either mic'd up, but certainly the umpire was mic'd up. And this is heavily censored.
I will say this. The umpire is amazing. I thought the umpire was very passionate but in control and did a really good job of steering the situation.
And he had to because Terry Collins wanted blood. Because this is after he had been ejected.
Yeah.
So Collins was going at it with the home plate umpire.
Yeah.
This was, I'm guessing, the crew chief was the guy who was overseeing everything, and he was maybe at first or second during this, and he gets involved, and he starts going at it with Terry Collins, and this is the audio that went online earlier this morning.
Listen
to me and let me hear what I'm saying, okay? You get your shot. You had your shot right there in the situation.
Well, why not?
You know the situation, Terry.
Why don't you get a shot, Tommy?
Because that makes it worse.
I know it. But MLB did nothing to that guy. Nothing.
Okay, that, Terry, I can't control that. You know as well as I do. You know where I stand on the whole situation.
You're better than that, Tommy. You know that.
Terry, listen, I'm telling you, our ass is in the jackpot now. Okay? I'm just telling you. You know what? You got everything out.
Our ass is in the jackpot has to be.
I don't even understand that.
I don't understand what that means either.
This is
our
what I got.
Our ass is in the jackpot.
I believe it was the umpires were read the riot act by the league going into that game.
But what is our ass is in the jackpot?
Nobody knows.
I don't know what that means. My ass is in a sling. It's my ass if this gets out of control.
Maybe that's what I got out of that. Maybe that's what I'm wondering. We'll see what Steve Phillips has to say. Maybe Phillips has heard that saying. Maybe it's an old baseball term.
I loved it. And that has to be a saying moving forward.
But there has to be meaning behind it. I don't know when to use it. Like, when's the proper context to use my ass is in the jackpot?
If Kyle Dubas...
During a pre-tape, our asses are in the jackpot.
Our ass is in the jackpot now!
If Kyle Dubas signs an egregious contract for somebody, his ass is in the jackpot.
Is in the jackpot now.
I would say Masai Ujiri is officially in the jackpot here in Toronto now, right? Getting rid of Casey, hiring Nick Nurse.
Right.
His ass is in the jackpot. Okay.
Our ass is in the jackpot now.
I don't know if we just did ourselves a disservice by playing out because it's so censored. You can't even hear it.
Well, if you get an opportunity, if you're driving right now, get an opportunity at home. Go online, listen to it. Because, there's some swearing in there and it's... But to me, the passion
raw.
Is in...
That's what I love about it. But it's a two-sided coin. I would do anything for this kind of access. I have said this many times. I would pay for this. I would pay for it. If it was a specialty channel and I had to pay $4.99 a month, I would pay in that in a heartbeat to have every player, every ref, every coach mic'd up throughout sports. I think it's a huge missed opportunity for these leagues to have that available to them.
I saw how cool it was in spring training when... Who was it in the outfield for the Reds? Mookie Betts?
Yeah, it was Mookie Betts during the game. He's like, uh-oh. Mic'd up.
I remember him like, I can't get
I mean, that's extreme. You don't expect him to be interviewing with the announcers during the game, but a little bit of insight.
It's unique. It's different. It's original content. But the flip side of the coin is, if Terry Collins was still managing, he'd be asked about this today. What kind of language are you using?
Yeah.
You used a couple of words that are derogatory in nature.
Yeah.
Why are you acting like a 4-year-old child when you're a 68-year-old manager?
Right.
That's why they don't do it. As much as I would love it, there's people out there that would complain about it. Well, so that's exactly. What stops They're, that kind of
but,
access.
But the people that complain about it are 5%. 95% of people want to hear that.
I think so. 95% of adults want to hear that.
His ass was in a jackpot.
His ass was in the jackpot. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Steve Phillips. Steve, did you see that clip of Terry Collins and the Mets-Dodgers fiasco from a couple of years ago?
Oh, I sure did. I actually tweeted out about that. It's riveting, right? You want to watch that. It's also what, in a lot of ways, makes you kind of love Terry Collins a little bit. You understand why his players really respected him, because he went to war for them. He battled for them. He argued for them. He fought for them. And I thought, man, that's great. And from the media side of it, I think it's terrific. The GM part of me is like, oh, my gosh, what in the world are we doing here? And there's got to be a TV executive, somebody at a network somewhere, that's going to be in big trouble. As they track this down and investigate where it came from, how it got leaked out and became public, baseball can't possibly be happy about this being released. Because this, again, this isn't—it was actually a pretty good result. Where I thought the umpire Tom Hellion handled himself extremely well. I think, you know, Collins was rightfully upset and out there presenting his case. We heard the players talking to Hellion as well. So it was really—it was an interesting sort of byplay with everybody involved. But this can't be a practice because not all of the results are this good. Not all of the results do we walk away saying, "Well, the umpire handled that well." It would be, I think, damning on a lot of people if the stuff that went on the field was aired all the time.
Is our ass is in the jackpot? Is that a baseball term that I'm not familiar with, Steve? What does that mean? Do you know what that means?
I don't, but I think, you know, it's a great saying. I don't know what it means. But I know I'm going to say it all the time now. But I think that the umpires are in a position where they're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't. That they feel like they have to do certain things that they don't agree with. That in sort of beanball situations, you know, they've got to issue warnings and manage it when they may think that, you know, let's let the players handle it. And Hellion's a longtime umpire that was in place during these games before, you know, the new rules were put in place. But I think they're in a position where they have to toe the line. They have to do what Major League Baseball tells them to do, even when they don't necessarily want to do it. I think that's pretty much what he's saying is, look, we don't have a choice. We have to do this because we have to do it or we're our necks on the line.
That's the way I read it.
Right.
Like, we were in the jackpot means the league is watching, and this is what we have to do. And if we don't, we're going to be reprimanded significantly.
Right.
Or it was just the most brilliant tactic ever to completely throw off Terry Collins. Like, you know, he's like,
what?
And then Collins is like, what the hell does that mean? And then all of a sudden the whole situation is diffused. I guess that's possible, too.
Yeah, it could have been. But, I think Terry Collins went on and had his say. And umpires don't mind if a manager comes on and has a say. They understand the pressure, the intensity, the frustration that many of these things sort of bring on. But there's got to be an end to it. And it's when the end doesn't come in the timing that I think an umpire expects, or they step over the line with a level of respect that they decide they need to sort of issue a statement by ejecting the player or the manager.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. So the Jays lost again at the Trop. They got swept earlier today. John Gibbons succinctly pointed out that they are horse blank whenever they're down there. This has been going on for years. They just can't win at the Trop. They can't figure out Tampa. But Jay Happ had another really quality afternoon, and I've been trying to get a read on his value because he's a veteran, he's a lefty, he's been very consistent for a couple of years, he's been great for them this year. Yet, you look at a team like Houston, he'd be their sixth starter in Houston. So Houston isn't even looking for Jay Happ. You know, in Cleveland, he'd be their, third or fourth guy, maybe? The Yankees, third or four? I mean, so basically what I'm getting to here, Steve, is if and when he's on the trade market, how much value is potentially there for a guy like Jay Happ?
Yeah, I think you're right. There are some teams where maybe he doesn't necessarily fit as highly as others. And that's why I think trading him sooner rather than later makes sense, so that you're getting as many possible starts as you can, and it's not just looking for just October results from him, but he may be the difference to get to the playoffs if he makes, 15, 20 starts for somebody. So the Seattle Mariners are a great example. Now, they're playing really good baseball. They're 19 games over 500 right now. But King Felix is no longer King Felix. James Paxton is an ace. But I think I would probably slot Happen as the number two guy on that staff. Marco Gonzalez, nice young guy. But Wade LeBlanc is a journeyman guy who's on a nice run for them. But he's got the lowest average fastball of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. So Happ might arguably slide in as the number two guy for the Angels. He could slot in as maybe you could make an argument as a number one guy without Ohtani in the mix there. So there are some teams that make sense. But even for a club like the Yankees, I think that getting a guy like Happ to win one or two more games than somebody else that might fit into that rotation might make the difference between being a wild card team and being the division winner, which is a huge difference this year heading into the American League postseason. So I think there will be a lot of teams on J-Half, American League and National League teams. You know, National League teams will love it because you're going to get a guy coming from the American League East into the National League where the lineups are going to be less challenging. And, he's pitched some in the National League before. So to be able to bring him in there, I think could could be a huge benefit. So I've asked a lot of people about, you know, Cole Hamels and Jay Happ, who seem to be the top two guys. Now, you can look at Chris Archer, although he's still on the DL and had a little bit of a setback. You can look at Michael Fulmer in Detroit, who's pitching to a 4.4 ERA right now, although you can control him for 4 years. And quality of pitching right now, Happ and Hamels are the top two guys. Hamels pitching against the Dodgers tonight, and so showcasing his ability. But I've asked people, Hamels has an option for next year at $20 million with a $6 million buyout. Happ is just a free agent at the end of the season, making $13 million. And the answer I get back more often than not is I would take Happ over Hamels just to avoid the $6 million payment on the buyout, you know, and having to negotiate the money. It's a cleaner contract, and Happ, the way he's going right now, might actually have even better stuff than Cole Hamels.
Well, that would be great for the Jays. I mean, something's got to pay off here. Something's got to happen in the next month, month and a half. Always appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, you bet, guys. Jackpot.
You got it. In the jackpot. Get your ass in the jackpot. There's Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, MLB analyst.
By the way, let us know if you have ever heard that before.
Well, this is what we're getting, okay? We're getting different interpretations.
Yeah, I want to hear some of the interpretations.
Someone texting in saying, I believe having your ass in the jackpot means your hands are tied or handcuffed.
That sounds about right.
Another person texting into 105050 saying, it's like how in the U.S. they have those machines that spit out balls, and the reference is to the chaos in the jackpot machine. I don't know what the hell that means. Now it's even more confusing.
That one was...
Thanks for explaining that
to
us.
Thank you very much.
That one was a little confusing.
This is why I should be vetting these texts before I spit them out.
But the hands tied one, I get. His hands are tied.
And this guy sending in a text saying it means I'm all in. But what are you all in on? What is he all in on as the umpire who didn't throw Syndergaard out?
He was the
home plate umpire threw him out.
Right, and he was defending. He was like the head umpire, right? And he came out to have a chat with Syndergaard, and then had to run over to Collins.
Yes,
and he said it twice. He said it to the players too, and Syndergaard. I've got my ass in the jackpot.
Maybe that means your hands are tied. That makes the most sense to me.
And because he even explained it to the players when they're on the mound, you guys knew coming into this game. We all knew coming into this game the ramifications. Because Syndergaard is arguing with him at the starting, saying, no warning, no nothing. And he's like, hold on a second here. Bad timing. You didn't need to do that at this time. So he said, our hands are tied. We've got to toss you. First sign of trouble, you're out. That's what I got out of it. But I thought that was so fascinating. I watched it 10 times today.
Well, I think what sticks out is the way Terry Collins was berating and undressing the home plate umpire.
Yeah.
That's when people say sports really is a different world. But that's also a part of it, is that everyone included in it is desensitized to language.
Right.
Outside of something homophobic or racially insensitive, anything else in the sports world, there's no type of language you can use in pro sports where people are going to be like, whoa, relax.
Yeah.
Those are some F-bombs we don't need around here.
No, like, you're right.
It's just a totally different use of the language and emotion and passion.
But that's where I was saying 5% of people who hear that are offended. The 95% understands that is, whether you like it or not, that's accepted in sports. To the point where you said, if it doesn't cross a line where it's race or sexual orientation, that I think everything else is kind of fair game for the most part. There are things that have crossed the line, and I hope through education people have curbed the way that they speak. But the F word, it's here for good.
Going anywhere, of course not. But like fat shaming, like those, there's that famous, who was the ref? You go
Don
grab
Kaharsky,
a donut, you fat pig or whatever.
Schoenfeld and Don Kaharsky.
Yes.
But that's
fat shaming.
That was back in the early 90s. But it's a different society now.
I know.
Like, I don't know.
Well, so if Schoenfeld did that today, it would be like, oh, you can't call someone fat, donut eating.
Well, no, there would be, again, I think it would be bullying.
It would be allowed 5%.
It would be bullying.
Allowed 5%.
Yes, but it would be.
But I think in those contexts, people know. Like Garrett Rank, the other day, we had him on, when was it, last week, talking about what he's going to go through. But he also said, being a ref, if this guy could tell stories, I mean, he has to be desensitized to people's emotions out there. And umpires are, refs are, chair umpires in tennis. McEnroe, think of what McEnroe and Connors used to yell and scream.
But this gets back to a conversation from
serious
earlier in the week as well about like partying after the cup, how the average citizen could never get away with that or ever even dream of performing.
No,
that
you
way.
Get a raise. You don't go jump in a fountain.
Never.
No,
and it's the same thing with this kind of language. If we get into a brawl here at TSN, I can't Terry call on somebody. They'd fire me immediately.
It would be an HR incident for sure.
Immediately. You can't do that.
But you know what, though? There's a difference between pro sports and what we would term the real world.
Yes, of course there is.
You can do it, but you got to be prepared to go get in your car and never come back.
There can be repercussions.
Right.
Someone else texting in saying that to say your ass is in the jackpot means it's his job to lose.
I like, Garrett sent one in, I believe this one. Ass in a jackpot means you're in a tight spot in a jam. He's in a jam because they...
My ass is in a sling is the same thing as saying
they probably, he's like, I know where you're coming from, and if this was any other game, I'd let it slide, but everyone's watching here. The league, we've probably been warned. I agree with it 100%.
All right, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, coming up on the likelihood of Erik Karlsson and or Mike Hoffman being traded out of Ottawa. Milan Lucic, his name has been out there a lot recently. Could he potentially get dealt? Maybe we'll get back into that Matthews Marner conversation with Dregs as well. I think it's his birthday
today,
isn't it?
It's his 50th birthday.
50th birthday, and wow. The guy's still calling in.
And he's still finding time to come on this show.
It's impressive.
Catch up with Dregs next. Overdrive continues on TSN2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can't watch it later. Or you could watch it later if you set your PVRs. Make sure you tape it every day. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance. It's a big day for Darren Dreger. I'm shocked he's on the show. I figured he'd have big plans. His wife would have something planned for
probably him. Probably at a barbecue and a couple deep, though. But he can still chat.
I would
with
think
his new
so.
Goatee.
He's got the goatee going. He's 50 years old. Happy birthday, Dregs.
Hey, guys. Yeah, very exciting day. You know what I'm doing right now?
Cleaning up,
talking to you.
Cleaning up giant dog crap in your yard.
No, that's coming later. I'm in a U-Haul. I got this little four-cylinder cube van matted. Screaming down Avenue Road, I had to move my daughter into her new apartment for university. And today was the only day we could do it. So my wife, Holly, my daughter, Katie, and myself are spending my 50th birthday jammed in a U-Haul moving.
Dude, you make enough money. Get up, get two men in a truck.
You know, it's bonding time.
It's
you know
that.
You
it's
like to spend time
touch.
With your girls.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You'll be doing that in a few years, right? When your girls go off to university, you'll be right there. You think so?
Oh, yeah. I'll be moving there.
You'll be out of here.
Hey, you know, so I don't want to give up too much information, disclose full location of my daughter's new apartment, but it's like a pitching wedge from the brass rail.
Oh no!
Oh, okay.
Well, also from also from Barbarian Steakhouse. So she has your visa;
exactly.
She can run up the bill there.
Yeah, watch
too.
Yourself, man. There's some expensive spots.
Exactly.
How much do you got to pay, Dregs? Like, do you got to pay for everything? Like, do you got to pay for the university and like?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What about
you know,
like?
I full disclosure, because I'm not hiding anything. It is what it is. An apartment. It's a nice little two bedroom, brand new condo, concierge service, the whole bit. $2,700 a month. Now,
wow.
She's got a roommate, but that's the going rate. I mean, anything around the UT or Ryerson, that's what you pay.
That's
so,
Toronto.
Like,
man.
What about side cash? Like, does she have a job or does she say, Dad, give me money? Like, I want to know what this, what we all have dogs.
Yeah, you're preparing for this. So is Noodles.
Yeah.
She isn't far behind either. Yeah. It happens that quickly. Yeah, she's got a job. She works at Royal Ashburn. She works at the golf course. She knows nothing about golf, but she works in the pro shop. So how much of a side deal is it? Not a lot. My thinking is, as long as she can keep her bank account alive and well, If she can get out of university with a little bit of cash in her pocket, then she's farther ahead than most.
Yeah, it's a pretty good spot.
Exactly.
Pretty good spot to be in.
I'm going to give my kids 200 grand when they're 19 and say that's all you get.
Forever for life?
Yeah. Forever. Do you want it now or do you want to wait till 30?
Well, guess what they're going to say?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to be calling you at 20 saying, you know what?
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's out of here.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, man. Yeah. If you're going to do that, buy them a condo or something.
You got to pace yourself.
Exactly. I agree with that.
I want to punch you in the face.
Why? What's your problem today?
I don't know.
You should have heard the conversation we just had in the break. I'll text you afterwards, Jake. You
right,
will not
buddy,
be even
hear.
Remotely surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy's ready to cash in his chips. And somehow it's my fault. It's my fault that he's got to be in here working. That's the best part. That's why you want to hit me, because you're in here and you think it's my fault.
We got Drake's calling in. It's his 50th birthday, and we're wasting his time.
It's so ridiculous.
Drake,
anyway.
Is this draft going to be any good? You guys have been promising us the last 4 years the draft is going to be hopping, and they always stink. What's going to go on at this one?
Well, I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson signing, or at least agreeing verbally to his 8-year extension with Arizona, hurts a little bit, because that would have added some drama and some intrigue, or more of it anyway, because I would have thought he would have been a tradable commodity, but that's not the case anymore. I mean, the shenanigans going on in Ottawa,
yeah,
I mean, that's got to liven things up. I mean, we reported last week, and in part we knew that, these allegations were in play. But Mike Hoffman is going to be traded. And now that, Erik Karlsson and his wife are involved in all of this, maybe Karlsson says, I've had enough. Like, I'm not going to sign here long term. Let's get this done sooner than later. Again, that's just wild speculation, but that's what some of the storylines going into the draft are all about. And, we haven't even touched on what the Islanders might do. So right. I think that there's a fair bit of promise going in.
Dregs, you just talked about Mike Hoffman, and, by all accounts, and you guys had reported that before, the Senators were shopping him for a while and probably couldn't get the deal that they liked at the deadline. But, in light of what's going on with his fiance and the allegations in there.
Yeah.
We were saying this yesterday. I still believe there will be a suitor for an NHL suitor for him. But like, are you of the belief? Are you gonna, or do you think that, I mean, Hayes and O think that
right now
he's kind of untradeable because it's of the uncertainty of this pending whatever it is, lawsuit or what's going on?
Well, look, I'll speak on behalf of a couple of general managers who I reached out to today, and the instant reaction was, that's a tough ad. Again, just given the uncertainty. But look, I mean, in this case, there's guilt established before innocence has been fully considered. And whatever's gone on there had to be bad enough for the Karlssons to seek the legal help that they have.
Yeah.
But, Mike Hoffman's fiance has not been charged with anything. So she's not guilty until she's proven guilty. So there might be some general managers, some teams that would have had considerable interest that say, all right, well, we're still interested because the guy's a hell of a hockey player. He'd be a great add to our club. But let's let this legal nonsense kind of get sorted before we close that deal. So, making that move on the draft floor in Dallas, in the next week and a half, that might be a bit of a stretch. But I don't think Mike Hoffman will be in an Ottawa Senators uniform next year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't see how, by all accounts, he was on the trade block anyway, and now this might accentuate the idea that you've got to move on from him. I just feel like until, if you're a prospective GM in the league and you're thinking of acquiring him, at the very least, you've got to get to the bottom of this, I think.
No,
I think you've got to say, like, I got to meet with Hoffman, maybe even meet with his fiance.
The whole,
because it just, like, what happens if you acquire him and then in 2 weeks it's like, it was her, and it turns out Hoffman knew about it the whole time. That's just a really difficult thing to sell to your fan base.
I agree with that, but now let's bring it back into Ottawa. Pierre Dorion is going to want to rebuild this team as quickly as he can, right?
He's also going to want a drink.
Yeah, well, I think that goes without saying. But how do you attract free agents to Ottawa? Like,
any married dude or any guy who's got a girlfriend or a fiance is going, yeah, I don't know, I want to be a part of that. Like, what is going on there? I mean, you guys tell me, Noodles. Oh, I mean, you know, when you guys were in the game, you weren't married. Now, maybe, O-Dog, you were in the later stages, but,
nope.
You know, this nonsense, like, did any of this even come close to happening? This is, I haven't touched this story until today, for the most part, just because it was so bizarre and wild that I didn't even want to get involved in it.
Well, when we played Dregs, there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't social media, there was clearly wives' rooms, and there was spats in there, but it seemed to be a lot lesser degree. There's always one girl that thought she ran the wives' room, and then order other people around, or blah, 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 but never to this extreme.
You know, some of the arguments, sir, the spats that I encountered throughout my career, and I only had a girlfriend at the time, at various times, was more petty.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, this wife said that to somebody else or criticized, or this one drank too much and got a little out of hand, or, you know, it was the petty stuff. This was vicious.
This is dark.
This is a dark place. It's a whole nother level. So that's where I was having a tough time processing it, because I've seen other things happen in rooms, but again, it when I played 10 years ago, social media wasn't prevalent, so everything kind of happened face to face, or it'll bubble over, and there was a face to face confrontation. This isn't the case.
No, I hear you, but and just for the record, you know, when I first got wind of this, and this has been frankly percolating in Ottawa for quite some time. You know, the fact that, you know, the news division of the Ottawa Citizen broke the story yesterday, that does mean that people weren't paying attention and gossiping about it, you know, around the Ottawa Senators and throughout media in Ottawa. And so before we went to insider trading in Vegas last week, I spoke to some people that I trust about the Hoffman trade rumor, and I had heard that there was something going on between Eric Carlson's wife and Mike Hoffman's fiance, and I checked it with people, you know, pretty close with Hoffman, and I was told flat out that it wasn't true, that there was no evidence to support it. But, you know, whether or not that information thrown at me, you know, can be attached on a timeline to what was reported yesterday, and it's just the legal process that takes so long that finally the media in Ottawa got a hold of it because it got into the courts and then it becomes, you know, public knowledge. I'm not sure. But again, I just want to remind all that, you know, this lady is innocent until proven guilty, even though the allegations are just horrendous.
Yeah. With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, sticking to the trade bait board and the idea of big names being out there on the market, Milan Lucic's name has come up a lot recently. What's the latest on his situation, and what's your read on how badly Edmonton would like to unload Milan Lucic?
Well, I think they'd like to get rid of him in the sense that they'd like to get rid of the contract. And maybe this is part of a tactic to get Milan Lucic to dig in a little bit. You know, maybe lose 15, 20 pounds, try and add a little speed to the game that he has left. I mean, there are many who still value Milan Lucic. And, you know, even though he doesn't play that deterrent role, that enforcer role on a game-in, game-out basis, you know, he's still a deterrent when he's in the lineup for the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, as we saw, you know, Ryan Reeves and even Tom Wilson to some degree, although, you know, Tom Wilson has emerged into being a top liner, at least a top six forward for the Washington Capitals, he can play with that gritty, tough edge to him as well. So people are wondering whether that's why Peter Chiarelli or the Edmonton Oilers are floating this out there. Maybe there'll be a team that jumps, but I got to believe that any team that is considering Milan Lucic in the years that he has remaining on his contract at $6 million annual, they need a sweetener. They need something significant. And I had a scenario, and look, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, and I don't even know that the Carolina Hurricanes would have interest, but maybe if Edmonton were to throw in Puljujärvi to go along with Milan Lucic and maybe something else, a high pick, man, could they find a way to get Noah Hanifin from the Carolina Hurricanes or Justin Falk? I mean, you know, at least this way, you've got Puljujärvi, who can saddle up next to Sebastian Aho, and You know, you've got Milan Lucic, who could protect some of the small forwards of the Hurricanes. Again, that's the kind of wild speculation that happens this time of year.
Well, even I'll just climb on top of that. What about Skinner? They need help on that left side, right? And Skinner's a guy who's coming up, and he's a really good player.
And they want to move Skinner.
Right. You know?
Why wouldn't they, Dregs? They're so good, they can just get rid of talented people.
That's Carolina. What about the Maple Leafs in terms of their approach? Like, we were talking about this earlier. If Bozak walks and, you know, Dominic Moore and Plekanec, they're not going to be in the fold. That's third and fourth line center up for grabs. Yeah. Pulock is going to be out. That's a top six defenseman. You need to fill that role.
Yeah.
I mean, those are some pretty big holes. What do you think their plan of attack is going to be?
Good question. And I don't know. They're lucky at all aspects of the organization and filling the holes, you know, left by the guys that you've mentioned, Brian. You know, that has to be top of mind, but so too is going through this myriad of contracts that you've got to deal with. And, you know, I'm going to touch more on this tomorrow on Insider Trading, and we've dealt with it on the show before. I don't think I'm the only one who's fascinated by how things are going to turn out with Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews and William Nylander. And I get the sense that the Leafs will give Auston Matthews whatever he wants, pretty much. But they're not going to be nearly as giving with Mitch Marner. And if that's the case, buckle up, boys, because we're going to have lots of radio fodder.
Mm-hmm.
That one's going to go sideways.
Well, he's a confident kid. And he's a good player. Yeah. He's a really good player.
That's where we had a spirited debate in Jerry's about him. And that's you're right. It's going to be a lot of locker room talk or water cooler talk about it because it's not going to get solved right away.
No. And he's confident enough. He'll happily go into the final year of his entry level deal, and he'll do whatever he can. And who's going to doubt him? Of putting up another big number year. And then he's got the Leafs entirely by the you-know-whats. And even statistically now, I've had some analysis sent my way, which I can share with you guys later, but it's fairly staggering in terms of the players that he exceeds. You know, I mean, Jack Eichel has nothing on Mitch Marner from a productivity perspective. And, you know, as we know, Jack Eichel's $10 million flat. So if Auston Matthews is going to get 11 or north of 11, he's going to get less than McDavid. But let's say he gets 11, 11 and a half. I'm not so sure Marner isn't pushing for 10 and a half.
Wow.
Maybe more.
Well, he can push for it all he wants. I mean, that's where at some point the Leafs have got to – they're going to counter too. But
that's
going to be
– we need to buckle up. This could be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, it will be. Good stuff, buddy. Happy birthday. Thanks for doing this.
Happy birthday, Dan.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dregs.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. Well, this is where the analytics and the deep diving numbers go both ways.
Yeah.
I had seen someone, I can't remember who it was. I wish I could give credit to who it was. It was on Twitter circulating.
Right.
Marner at his age compared to other guys in the league, points per game, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And pretty staggering company that he was in. So, you know, to get back to our previous conversation, it doesn't really matter where he ranks. If he's looking at Matthews and Matthews.
You got to be careful with that because a lot of his points are on the power play, too. That's the thing. Yeah. Like 5-on-5. Matthews is one of the
great 5-on-5 players and goal scorers in the league. You know, no question.
I don't think he's. Yeah, it's so tough because it's like competition within the team. You're like, well, I do for as much as the team as this guy. And
right.
I can remember my first contract. I told you this. There was a defenseman. His name was Adam Bird. He was making $1 million. I'm like, I'm not coming to camp for less than $1 million. This guy makes $1 million. I want $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting that.
But that's the thing. If you're an RFA and you're young, you can ask for whatever you want.
15% qualified.
Well, but what might end up happening is maybe we're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe they got to dig in on Matthews and be like, we can't give you everything because if we do, Marner's going to be like, well, you gave him that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but I mean,
Dregs is right. It's going to be fascinating to see it unfold.
I just
big
think
egos, Matthews big money.
Matthews has separated himself. Where I think Marner is on the way, but he's not there yet. So that's why I still wholeheartedly believe he'll bet on himself to separate.
Well, that's what exactly. Like this year, he had a great stretch, and he was brilliant in the playoffs.
Right.
Like Cassidy was popping his tires every single game.
Vince is right, though. Mitch Marner's got a right to say, how come Jack Eichel blows his ankle out? He played 2 years, and he just got handed $10 million. How come I don't get handed the $10 million?
If you look at it,
and what if Laine gets
per game, and Eichel, like Eichel has been, Eichel was 11th in points per game.
If you compare Marner's and Eichel's numbers, they can't be far off.
Marner, I believe, someone sent this earlier this hour. He's Marner's 0.82 points per game in his career.
And what's Eichel's?
I don't know what Eichel is. I don't know, but that's over 2 years.
Yeah, somebody sent that about Draisaitl.
And Draisaitl
was
4 years.
Do the last 2 years head to head.
I've really come on the second half of the show.
Oh, you think so?
You woke up because you were sleeping for a half an hour, and now you're back. So you've had a little cat nap, and now you're on fire.
Just a quick shutdown, and now he's ready to go.
Now he's first star of the show.
Now I want to keep going.
Okay, let's stick around. Wheeler and Terry Dunfield are coming in here. We'll stick around and talk some World Cup at 7 p.m.
Well, I hope they have tank tops on. It's a heater in here.
It did warm up a little bit recently.
Right. I know I have a hoodie on, but come on.
Yeah, dude, what are you doing? It's 28 degrees outside.
It was pissing down rain and cold this morning. I live on the water. I always get the weather wrong.
Yeah, you get that wind.
I live on the water. You're a pirate.
In a boat.
You live on land.
On Tiger's yacht.
Dude, I live right on the water.
I know where you live. We got to get to our best bets.
Everything I say today, you're just
bothering me a lot. You're really
right
bothering
back
me.
At you.
Your ass is in my jackpot.
Exactly.
Your ass, your skinny car salesman ass, is in my jackpot.
Best bets brought to you by ProLine. Next. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Yankees at home. Houston, Road Plus in Oakland, and I'll take the Dodgers at home against the Texas Rangers. Throw down 20, you can score 50. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Baltimore.
Fading Baltimore.
Of course you are.
Always fade Baltimore.
Not Boys, always.
I got bad news for tomorrow.
What's up? You got something going on?
Marley game. I'm leaving at 6 to go to the game.
You got to be in the building for puck drop. Ceremonial puck drop?
So you've never...
I've never left an hour early before the show.
Yeah.
In what world? Like, did you ever go up to Paul Maurice and say, after the second, I'm out of here?
Right.
I got other things going on tonight.
I've never asked.
You may have been on the bench for it anyway, but
right.
We'll talk in the break.
There is. The show's over. I'm leaving. I'm taking tomorrow off. We got to fly.
Go ahead. Do whatever
we'll be back at 4 p.m. tomorrow.
We'll chat then.